Greetings and welcome to another broadcast of Living Word Global, an outreach ministry of Living Word Christian Center Church in Reisterstown, Maryland. Hi, I'm Pastor Curtis, and once again, I'm so glad to be able to meet with you and share the Word of God with you as God has been speaking so clearly on the subject matter of faith. We are just so pleased to offer this third edition to our complete our series on the subject of faith. We pray that it will be a blessing to you. We're calling this message, No Doubt, Have Faith. That's right, No Doubt, Have Faith. And we believe that God is going to speak a great word into you today. So we ask you to just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. We also would ask that if you're blessed by this ministry, if you're being encouraged in any way, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@lwcc2010.org. That's info@lwcc2010.org. And we would look forward to hearing from you. Also, we'd like to inform you of our big launch that will be taking place on July 4th, 2010. That's right, July 4th, the 4th of July of this year, we're launching into the deep. And we believe that God is going to bless tremendously. We look forward to having you there. Contact us at lwcc2010.org or use our email, info@lwcc2010.org. And we'll talk with you more right after the message. Many of you know that when you pray in faith, the Holy Spirit does move on that faith and begin to work. The Holy Spirit has been dealing with us a lot about faith, hasn't he? We haven't finished that series on faith that we started, but we're going to finish that series because it's important that we know and understand and recognize what faith is. You all right? You doing okay tonight? God bless you. We love you so much. All of those who are listening today, we just want you to know we take this thing seriously. This is no formality for us. This is no haphazard event. We come and we gather and we pray and we seek the Lord and we ask the Lord, what is it that's needed? What is needed for those who we're ministering to? We don't see all the faces of those that we minister to, but we know that God knows who they are. And so we're very, very careful to make sure that God gets the glory, that he gets glorified, and we move in such a way as to meet those specific needs that he points out to us. How many of you know that some people just have the most difficult time believing anything? How many of you know that? Some folk just have the most difficult time believing anything. And you know, when we think about it, we can look at the scripture and we can see characters in the scripture that spent time with Jesus, that walked with him and learned from him and ate with him and slept with him. And they spent so much time with him. And yet at a particular point, they failed to believe him. We know that Peter, even Jesus prophesied and said that, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. And we know that in fact came to pass. But even more so than that, we think of another guy who knew that Jesus said on the third day, the Son of Man will return. And we know that Thomas, while he had taken off and done whatever he was doing, the scripture doesn't really say what he was doing all this time. It just says that he wasn't there when Jesus showed up. He wasn't there. And so the other disciples being there, experiencing the risen Christ, and hearing the things that he had to say, and being blessed by him, when they finally got a chance to talk to Thomas, and, you know, I can only imagine that they were really excited. Thomas, he's arisen. He's risen just like he said. Oh, doubting Thomas. Come on, guys. Come on, be for real. Stop playing with me. I'm not going to believe it until I see it for myself. When I can take my hand and thrust it into the nail print in his hand. And I can take my hand and I can thrust it into his side where the spear pierced him. Then I'll know it's him. I'm not going to just take your word for it, he said. So here's this guy who has spent 3 years walking with the Savior. He said he believed in him, said he trusted him, committed his life to him. And at the very time he needs to believe him the most, Jesus would say, "Oh, you of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith, when will you believe?" Remember, he said that so many times. Look with me, if you will, at John 20, verses 19 through 29. John 20, verses 19 through 29. Let's take a little look at the story and get a better understanding of what's taking place here. It's such an interesting story. That evening, on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he held out his hands to them to see, and he showed them his side. They were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. He spoke to them again and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you refuse to forgive them, they are unforgiven." That's an interesting statement. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you refuse to forgive them, they are unforgiven. One of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, in some translations they call him Didymus, was not with them, with the others, when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hand and put my finger in them and place my hand into the wound on his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hands into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless anymore or any longer. Believe. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord, my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway. You have seen because you believe, because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe anyway and have not seen me. You know, when we read a story like this, a lot of people have a lot of ideas as to why it is that people have such a hard time believing that Jesus is who he says he is, first of all, and that Jesus rose again from the dead. That's kind of, you know, for the natural mind, that's a real mind bender. He did what? He rose from the dead. Say that again. He rose from the dead. I won't believe it until I see it with my own eyes. How many of us, even before we came to Christ, had that kind of an attitude where we needed to see it for ourselves? You know, I mean, I've heard somebody even say, you know, if I have to wait till I die and get to heaven, if there is a heaven, and then see Jesus, and he's there and he's alive, yeah, I'll believe it then. No, of course we know that that's a foolish statement. You know, it's a very foolish statement to say, well, I'll put it off until then, and then I'll believe it if I see it. Well, Thomas was kind of blessed in that sense, because Jesus had not ascended as of yet. And he was also one of his disciples. So Jesus dealt right then with his doubt. So that once he ascended into heaven and was seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, his Father God in heaven, Thomas would not still be in a state of doubt or disbelief or without faith. Because we know that without faith, you know the scripture, Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? So Thomas, if he had stayed in that mindset after the ascension, then he would be like all the other folk that we're trying to reach right now. He'd be in a lost state. And he had 11 other guys or 10 other guys that believed and were ready to give witness to the fact that they had seen the risen Lord. And so Thomas had the opportunity to correct his mindset. You realize that faith is a matter of something that you think, first of all. If you don't think something, then there's nothing to believe, right? So as we know, the scripture teaches that faith comes by hearing. And hearing is the word of God. So the word of God says that Christ is risen. And I'm not preaching a message for Easter, just so you know. We're talking about faith. Christ is risen. And in my mind has to wrap around that somehow to get into my heart so that my heart can grip it and hold it and love it and say, yeah, I received this. This is truth. And that's where Thomas was. And what did Jesus say to him? Don't be faithless. Don't be faithless anymore. Believe. So Thomas, of course, by his response, we recognize that his faith came alive. His faith came alive. My Lord, my God. Now, nobody's going to call Jesus Lord, literally call him Lord, believing that he's Lord, unless in fact they do believe it. And I'm sure nobody's going to call him God unless they in fact know that he's God. Thomas became a believer that day. But what keeps people from believing? Many times, it's going to be a little hard for y'all. I know it's going to be hard for y'all. I know, but I want you to keep listening. Many times, it's just ignorance. It's just ignorance. I heard the story over and over again. My wife tells me sometimes when we're fussing, she says, okay, you said it already. You already said it. And I'm one of those kind of people that I'll say it again and again and again and again and again until you stop arguing with me about it. Once you stop arguing with me, I know you got it. That's because I think it's that important. So many people are like that. They'll hear the story over and over and over and over again. And they're like, yeah, you already told me. I already heard it. Oh, I heard that before. You'll find out when you get out on the streets and start ministering to people and telling them about Christ. What do you know about Jesus? Nothing. And they heard the stories over and over and over and over again. But they're just so tired of hearing them until they don't want to hear it anymore. And so they become ignorant. They become ignorant. They're lacking the real knowledge of anything that makes this thing make sense. They're just lacking in knowledge. And it's not because they've not heard. It's because they've not allowed for that, what they've learned, to process in them. It's like sitting in a classroom and the instructor or the lecturer or whoever it may be, the professor is teaching, and maybe his voice is monotone and he's talking like this. And it's so boring. And so you just close your mind off to what's being said. And then when it comes time for the quiz, you're stammering around for somebody who was actually able to stay awake to give you the answers. But see, in this case, it's just simple ignorance. You know, I either chose not to listen or I just didn't, just don't understand it. I have a lack of knowledge and I'm unfamiliar with the points surrounding this particular issue. I'm ignorant on this matter. So what we're beginning to understand is that we're going to meet some folks sometime that are just ignorant. And they're going to have all these stories and all these excuses and all of these things. But what do we do with that? You know, how do we respond to ignorance? You're just ignorant. No, we don't do it that way. It would be nice, wouldn't it? You're just ignorant. You need to stop being so ignorant. No, but we just have a little bit of compassion and say, look, you know, sit down with me. Let me talk to you for a second. I can share something with you that you might that might help you understand. You know, but when you have so much doubt in your life, it's based on several things, and one of those things again is ignorance, and it's something that we have to overcome. It's something that we really have to deal with in order that we'll be able to really believe. And now, the other thing, if you think about it, it's cynicism. Really? A lot of people are just cynical. You know? You know what that means? Tell me what that means. No, I'm just kidding. But cynicism is an attitude of scornful or jaded negativity, especially in general distrust, or especially a general distrust of integrity, of the integrity or professed motives of others. So some people they're just really scornful and jaded. They have a jaded attitude and idea about the things that you say. You know, years and years ago, certain people, certain cultures of people had this mindset about another culture where they, regardless to who they were, how many degrees they had, or what kind of education they had, they were considered as, you know, just not worthy of listening to. Nobody cared what they had to say. They just had a bad attitude towards them. You know, they had no real reason to feel this way. They had no real substantial reason for feeling that way. But in their own hearts, they had developed a calloused heart towards this particular people group. And so no matter what they had to say, no matter what they had to offer, they were always looked upon as inferior and therefore not worthy of attention. And this people group happened to create some of the greatest inventions used by mankind right now. And I'm proud to say that every time I drive my car down the street and I want to cross an intersection, when that light changes red and protects me from getting ran over, I thank God for that people group. Now, I'm not saying who it is purposely, because I know that people know. And every time I have peanut butter and all the different things, the different products that come from the peanut, I'm so glad for that people group that just had the tenacity to stand and keep pressing in, even though people didn't think that they were worthy. So you see, people can be cynical about things and about people without any real reason. Some people are cynical when it comes to the gospel. Some people just have a cynicism about them, you know, and they have no real reason to not like Jesus. You know, he never really did anything to him, to them. But for whatever reason, they just have this deep, dark hole in their minds and in their hearts where he's concerned. Hitler was such a person. Remember Hitler? Remember his goal was to destroy not just the Jews, but the Jews in particular. He wanted to destroy this Jesus. He wanted to make sure that people weren't worshiping this Jesus. In fact, he called himself a Christian, though. That's deep, huh? But he wanted to get rid of the Jews that are the same people race that Jesus came from. And he wanted to get rid of the black people as well. He wanted a pure race, as he said. And every other race, according to him, was inferior. He was cynical. He had a cynicism about him when it came to other people. Some people say he was psychotic. I agree with that, too. But, see, Thomas, he was one of those guys that just felt like, you know, you got to show me. How many of you know people like that? You got to show me. I'm not going to believe it until you show me. I had a new car. Yeah, right. Show me. I told a guy years ago I was planning to get married, and I asked him if he'd be my best man. He's like, nobody wants to marry you. You know, prove it to me, in other words. Prove it. Prove somebody loves you. You know, that's how people are. People develop those kind of mindsets and that kind of attitude because really, many times it's because they feel like that's where they are. You know, how could I possibly have that? If I can't have it, he certainly can't. Am I right? Okay. But then Thomas was also just a skeptic. Skeptical about everything. There's another instance in scripture that talks about Thomas and his skepticism. If you'll look at John 11 in the 16th verse. And I'm used to writing my scripture down on my message, but for whatever reason, I didn't do that this time. And I feel really weird. John 11 and 16. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. John 11 and 16. If you have that, if you can read that out loud for me, please. 11 and 16.
Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, and to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him."
Okay. So Thomas, in Thomas's mind, when Lazarus died, that's what the background of this particular verse is. When Lazarus died, and Jesus says after several days, they decided to go. And he's saying, while Jesus says, "Come on, let's go," he says, "Well, yeah, let's all go and die with him. Let's go die with Lazarus." Now, I don't know why he thought that way. I don't think it's ever been explained why he thought that way. But that's just another example of how Thomas and his skepticism and his, slowness to believe and all of these things was concerned. Jesus was going on a mission. He was going to raise him from the dead. And here Thomas thinks they're going to die. "We're on our way to the grave." No, I won't sing that. So, okay, if you'll look with me at another verse at chapter 14 and verse 5. Why don't we just start at verse 1 and read the background here for a second. I'll start reading. "Don't be troubled. You trust God, now trust me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know where I am going and how to get there." Here's Thomas. "No, we don't know, Lord. We haven't any idea where you are going. So how can we know the way?" "No, we don't." Jesus says, "Yes, you do." He said, "No, we don't." He just doesn't get it. The guy just never connected. It's like when you're playing dots or something like that, and you never can connect to dots. All you got to do is draw a line straight through it. But just like whatever you do, the line is always in the wrong direction. It always misses the dot. He always missed the dot. He just was never there. Thomas just never could get it. And I know there's a lot of people that are listening and they're saying, well, it isn't that easy to understand. Well, wait a minute. Don't be troubled. Wait a minute here, guys. Listen, I want to tell you something. Jesus says, "Don't be troubled. You trust God? Now trust me." That's the biggest part of it right there. I trust God. Yeah, you're right, Jesus. I trust God. Okay, now trust me. Wait a minute. I'm a little skeptical about that, Jesus. That's where Thomas was the whole time while everyone else was saying, "Yeah, okay." And they're nodding their heads. You know how it is when you're preaching and you look out in the audience and folks are nodding their heads when you're saying with certain things. It was like that. All the other disciples were saying, yeah. And Thomas was like, "Huh?" He's like, "No, we don't. We don't even know." And he's trying to talk for the rest of the group. That's what made it more interesting. He didn't say, "I don't know." He said, "No, we don't." "We don't know, Lord, where you're going. Neither do we even know how to get there. But Jesus just said, yes, you do. You know." You got to have faith to even listen to God. When God begins to speak in your spirit, when God whispers that little thing in your ear, you know, like what you're hearing right now, when you know you need to choose Jesus as your Lord, right? You know that. You know it because you heard God say it. And even though I'm not preaching a salvation message right at the moment, you know that that's what you're hearing in your ear. And here's what you got to do. You got to either be like Thomas and say, "I didn't really hear that." Or you need to just be like the rest of the disciples and nod your head and say, "Yeah, that's what I need to do." You see, that's what faith does. Faith has action. It's accompanied by, with action. When you hear something, when the Holy Spirit says something, faith says, yep. It snaps to it right away. You know, it's like when you tell your child, go to the refrigerator, there's an ice cream cone in there for you. And they say, no, there isn't. No, they can say, no, there isn't all day long while the ice cream cone sits there waiting for them. Or they can say, like most kids, oh, really? And they head to the refrigerator. They don't take a step in any other direction. You can't even call them back for any reason until they get to the refrigerator to get that ice cream cone. That's faith. That's the reaction of faith. That's what faith looks like. So what we're saying here is that we can either be like Thomas, we can be cynical, we can be ignorant, or we could just say, yeah, yeah. Whatever you say, I accept it, I believe it, and I will move into it. I'll live in it, I'll walk in it, I'll raise my family in it. You know, it will be the way that I get to work and the way I get home. It will be everything that I ever do in life because you said it, Jesus. That's faith. See, we know that faith without works is dead, right? No. A lot of folk don't know what that means. Let me explain that. If you say to me, I have faith, and yet, the littlest, simplest thing in Christianity is difficult for you to do. Do you have faith? Do you have faith? I'm having the most difficult problem praying. I just can't wrap my head around just this whole prayer thing. You know, I feel like I'm just talking to myself. Faith without appropriate action is dead. So the scripture says to pray that if you ask anything in my name, according to my will, then it'll be done to you. And you're sitting there and you're saying, yeah, right. Yeah, right. You have this cynical attitude about it. Well, I did that before and it didn't work. But what does the scripture say? If we look at James 1, and James says that if you ask anything of the Lord unbelieving, then you're like a tossed wave of the sea. That it says that you're a double-minded man and that you're unstable in all your ways. It says that you shouldn't even expect anything of the Lord. So the first thing that you need to know, and here's some knowledge for you so that you'll no longer be ignorant, that when you sit down to pray, if you sit down to pray believing that what you're praying isn't going to come to pass, then don't even bother. Don't even bother, because without faith, you remember? Without faith, it's impossible to please God anyway. But if I pray and I don't believe what I'm praying, then I may as well not be praying because I'm not going to get it anyway. And then I can't walk around and be mad at God because he didn't fulfill the thing that I prayed for when I prayed, not believing that he was going to fulfill it anyway. You see, so faith without appropriate action or works, it's just dead. It's just it's unnecessary exercise. It's unnecessary. Now, there's another thing that keeps us from believing. And that's called empiricism. Now, that's a new word to me, too. I just learned this one recently. Empiricism. The view that experience, especially of senses, is the only source of knowledge. Now, we were talking about a week or so ago, we were talking about the conversation between the atheist and the so-called minister. And the atheist had the viewpoint that he only believes in those things which he can touch and feel and smell. He has a real love and passion for art. He has real love and passion for nature and, you know, things of that sort. So he can believe in those things. He can grasp those things because he can touch those things. He can sense those things with his seven senses, or six senses, I'm sorry. With his six senses, he can touch those things. So he has an empiricistic view of life. Faith doesn't make sense to him because faith is touching something that's intangible, that I can't put my hands on. I can't wrap my fingers around. Sometimes I can't even wrap my mind around it, but for whatever reason, my heart says, oh yeah. You see what I mean? So faith touches the invisible. Faith believes in a God that I've never even seen with my eyes. And yet something inside of me knows that he is. You see that? But let's look at Thomas, what Thomas said here. He said, unless I see him for myself, unless I'm able to touch him, I will not believe. Remember in verse 25? So those are the kind of people that believe that seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. I'll believe it when I see it. Okay? Now listen. I get kind of tired of talking about faith sometimes, you know? I mean, just to be real. I get kind of tired of talking about faith sometimes. I just want folk to believe, you know? I'm like, I'm kind of like a dad. And I feel like, you know, you've heard this message so many times before. Isn't it time that you just believed it? When are you going to just give up the fight? Accept the fact that it's beyond you and just believe it. You know, it's hard enough to have to go through life wondering what your next breath is going to be like and what you're going to accomplish or how you're going to fail in the next day and all of the different things that you have to deal with. It's hard enough. And God comes with this simple message that he's proven over and over and over again. And you still stand with all of these thoughts and all of these ideas that make no sense. The gospel makes more sense than the things we conjure up in our own minds to keep us from believing it. It really does. The gospel makes more sense than the things that we conjure up in our own minds to keep us from believing it. So you're fighting against yourself over something that's simple and easy to grasp. Here's the message. Jesus, the Son of God, came. He gave his life for you, for me, for all of us, in order that we would not have to stand before God, guilty sinners that we are. You know, we're guilty before God. We've lived a life that is totally separate from the life he planned for us. So Jesus, his son, the scripture says in John 3:16, an easy verse for most people to remember, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, trusts him, has faith in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what God says. So while we're running away saying, well, you know, God is such a mean and evil God based on what the scripture says, look at the Old Testament. No, let's look at this. The message is that Jesus died for your sin instead of you. He became a propitiation, a go-between, a martyr, if you will, for your sin. He took your place so that you wouldn't have to stand before God as guilty as you know you are and be condemned. And all you have to do is accept that. You see, because if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, confessing with your mouth, believing that he is Lord, confessing him as Lord, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, how hard is that? You can make every excuse in the book, and there's nothing. There's nothing that you can think up that will erase the fact of the matter that we just discussed. So here's the question. And we're going to end this message. And I'm not talking about faith anymore until God said so. Hopefully he won't say so anytime soon. I'm just kidding. But here's the question. Will you, by faith, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came and gave his life for you, that he died on the cross for your sin to set you free, to deliver you from the bondage that you've been living in for most of all of your life, so that you can live free and have eternal life and go on and live with him? Can you believe that in faith? Accept that? And are you willing right now to confess that with your mouth, that Jesus is in fact my Lord, that he is my Savior, and that I'm a new creature because of him? If you're willing to do that, those of you who are in the listening audience, I'm going to ask you to do something with me right now. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. You'll need to pray a little louder. Pray like you want him to hear you. Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I know that I'm a sinner.
And that I've lived a life that is
separate
from you.
And right now,
after hearing the word of God,
I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is the Son of God.
And
that he died on Calvary's cross for my sin.
And that he rose again on the third day, even as he said he would.
And that he sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven.
And that he sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven.
And he prays for me.
And he prays for me.
I receive his salvation.
I receive his salvation.
And I accept him as my Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say to each and every one who has prayed that prayer with me right now today, you are saved. You are secure in Christ Jesus. The scripture says that you have been made a new creation in him, that the old things have passed away and everything has been made new. Now, I know you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to see that same old face that you've been seeing all your life, but I want to encourage you. Please get in touch with our ministry. Go to www.lwcc2010.org. lwcc2010.org. Drop us a note. Let us know that you prayed that prayer, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Give us an opportunity to minister to you. We'll send you information to help you with your on your walk with God. We'll begin to pray for you, and we'll begin to walk with you so that you don't have to walk alone. We'll help you get connected to a church in your area that you'll be able to continue to grow with. So please, we ask you to contact us via email at info@lwcc2010.org, or just go to our website and drop us a note there, and we will send you as much information as we possibly can to help you in your new life with Christ. We're so pleased that you took the time to come and listen. We're so pleased that you joined us here on this Sunday evening, and we look forward to having you come back and join us again. Bring your friends, listen to this broadcast. If God has changed you, guess what? He can change them too. So here at Living Word Christian Center Church in Reisterstown, Maryland, we just say thank you. God bless you. We love you. And we hope that God continues to be the Lord of your life.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Living Word Global and Ministry of Living Word Christian Center Church of Reisterstown, Maryland. We are so very glad to share the Word of God with you in this format, and we hope that it has been a blessing and an encouragement to you. If you've been encouraged, Pastor Curtis would like to hear from you. Please leave us a note or email at info@lwcc2010.org. Please be sure to visit our website at www.lwcc2010.org for more information about this ministry and upcoming events. Please join us again for Living Word Global.